Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Sindhu Adderson joins us, a doctor at Northwestern Immediate Care. So can you tell us, Dr. Adderson, about some of the signs of heat stroke, what people should pay attention to if they think that they're just a little overheated and they're working outside and they're like, I'll just have a sip of water and get back to work?
Of course. Yes. Thank you for having me. Things that people should be looking out for, particularly with this high temperatures, are symptoms of like faint, dizziness, rapid pulse, headache, or even nausea. The other symptoms such as confusion, vomiting, are also things that should be of alarm for those who are working outside in this type of weather.
Yeah, and for people building roads or HVAC employees, those type of people who deal with it on a regular basis, I'm sure they're like, oh, I've got it, I'm fine. But that sense of confusion is a pretty clear sign, right?
Oh, yes. No, if there's a situation where you're confused or, you know, starting to vomit or getting really lightheaded, we encourage people to seek assistance immediately. Ideally, people should be wearing loose-fitting, lightweight clothing, things that are not too tight to your body, you know, and make sure to really drink plenty of fluids and try to stay as hydrated as possible, even if you're not really feeling thirsty.
And how much should you consume in the way of fluids if you're outside in weather like we're experiencing today?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, at this point, we would try to say, you know, you should just try to keep staying hydrated every hour. Even if, like, being thirsty is not a super accurate sign of dehydration, but we'd encourage at least, you know, one or two glasses of water every 60 to 90 minutes just to be, you know, safe. And if, as long as you're peeing regularly and, you know, just staying hydrated, stay in the shade, those are important things to really be mindful of.
And when you stop sweating, is that a sign that you might have heat stroke?
That is a sign. That could be a sign that there could be something much more severe going on, because sweating is, you know, part of your body's mechanisms to trying to stay cool. So if you're noticing that your skin is becoming cool, those are things, you know, we really need to look out for.
I know this isn't your wheelhouse, but do pets suffer from heat stroke? Can they suffer as well?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, in terms of like similar physiologic functions as humans, I believe pets, you want to try to keep them in the shade, just also keep them hydrated as well. Probably avoiding long, long walks in this weather would be a good tip to take home.
And what about babies? I had seen another doctor say that a silent baby is a scary baby, especially in temperatures like today. I mean, I was that mom that probably wouldn't take my kid out for a walk on a day like today, but some people will. What should you look for when it comes to children who might not have mastered language yet and can't alert you that they're suffering?
Yeah, I mean, the young children are, you know, those are the people that are at risk, along with older adults and those with chronic illnesses. I mean, with the weather being this hot, they don't really have the reserves to kind of avoid, kind of have the physiologic mechanisms to prevent heat stroke as much as adults do. So I would just try to avoid being outdoors as much as possible. You want them to be as hydrated as much as possible. And those are just the main things to look out for.
If you've had heat stroke once, are you likely to suffer from it or are at a greater risk of suffering again?
I don't believe that to be the case. I mean, I believe, you know, heat stroke is a function of the current you know, the current situation at the time. I don't believe it's something that people are likely to get it. You know, some people just, if you are someone who's not, doesn't generally drink a lot of water, you're maybe more predisposed to getting it. But heat stroke, you know, it's a life-threatening condition where your body just mainly overheats and cannot cool down. So we just really want to prevent it from even getting there. The thing that precedes heat stroke is heat exhaustion. So even when you're feeling a little bit, you want to just feeling a little bit of those symptoms I mentioned, you really want to kind of address it sooner than later.
So if you're on a job site with other folks and someone's confused or vomiting and Is the suggestion then get them to a walk-in clinic?
Yeah, at that time, if they are confused and vomiting, that may be a situation where they need to be seen in the emergency room, because that would probably require more invasive, treatment than a typical walk-in clinic could handle. But you certainly can be evaluated in a walk-in clinic, and if we need to escalate their care, we certainly can.
And that care would start with IVs, I would imagine.
Yeah, and that's usually something that's done in the emergency room, and, you know, blood work and things like that to assess for any organ damage from this where your body can't cool down. So that certainly can be done and evaluated for in the ED. But the goal here is we want to focus on prevention, as mainly that is a thing that we can control, particularly as we know that the temperatures are rising and we want to just stay safe.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Of course, certainly. Thank you for having me.
That's Dr. Sindhu Adderson from Northwestern. Stay safe out there.